Five hosts, four divisions, all battling it out for the Holy Grail of the American Hockey League, the Calder Cup. This is the Holy Grail Podcast. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Paul, Zach Power, Andrew Rinaldi, Corey Swartz, and Dina Weinheimer.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Field Pass Hockey's American Hockey League podcast, The Holy Grail. This is the episode for the week in AHL hockey starting January the 5th. And as always, we are here to give you a recap of the last week in AHL action. In today's show, we're getting back to the show format you know and love. It's been a few weeks. We've been a little heavy on guests and special segments, but we're going to scale it back just a little bit this week. But before we get into that, as always, our introductory question. So, guys, we all have our beat teams here. If your beat team had a New Year's resolution, what would it be?
Stop sucking. Am I allowed to say that about my beats, or is I got to give something else?
That was so just, he said so much without saying more than two words.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I guess mine would be a little less intense, but you know, for the Hershey Bears, I really think it's just getting healthy at this point. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries. They've been making do with it. Their top line's been fantastic so far, but, you know, it's been one of those things. They have so many guys on the shelf with both injury and illness that, you know, just kind of hoping they take this week to maybe get a little bit of healthiness going on in the lineup, and goes double for Washington too. That may add to the pool there. And then all of a sudden, you know, Hershey's looking even better than just getting their own guys back if they can get anything from Washington. So we'll put a pin in that one now, as we famously do.
Hey guys, Dina Weinheimer again. The team I follow the most is the Monsters, so I'm just going to let Jeremy say it for the both of us, because all I can say is ditto.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I think kind of similar to Corey, but maybe on the opposite side of things. My beat's New Year's resolution is for their NHL club to get healthy, because Cleveland could use some of their guys back, especially on the blue line. And so if that's not possible, if we can't snap our fingers and make that happen, then, you know, basically just like continue to try to develop that blue line as much as possible. Trent Vogel, Huber's done what he can, but they have been a leaky blue line here over the course of the last few games. So get healthy, Columbus.
And you know what, for me, covering the Toronto Marlies, I look at the team that they've had, the season that they've had, which hasn't been so ideal, especially with the injury bug going around Toronto up in the NHL. But when I look at the AHL squad, it's plain and simple, stop taking penalties. The penalty kill at home isn't great. We know that. The one on the road isn't so bad. So they kind of leave in the middle of the pack sort of with the AHL. You know what? They could be a top-level team, and they are a top-level team. Once they get rid of those penalties, the unnecessary penalties that Toronto seems to take, and if they can get past that, they'll get good in the playoffs. As I think we'll get moving on into the breaking news portion of our segment, and I think Corey's going to start us off.
Yeah, absolutely. So the AHL All-Star Game coaches have been named. We're finally back to the All-Star Game after a couple years' absence here. But we got a couple different coaches. You know, it was all based on positioning at the end of the calendar year for each team. So Todd Nelson from the Hershey Bears will be coaching the Atlantic Division. Greg Moore from the Toronto Marlies will be coaching the North Division. Neil Graham from the Texas Stars will be coaching the Central Division. And Mitch Love from the Calgary Wranglers will be coaching the Pacific Division. And so big congrats to all four of those coaches for earning that honor.
So just a little backstory into how this is chosen, because it is kind of methodic. So similar to the NHL, the AHL All-Star Classic coaches are determined by the teams who own the best record in each respective division by the end of play on January 1st. So, I mean, I know Corey's going to be writing about it. He's talked about it. This is going to be huge for Nelson and the Hershey Bears. I mean, come on, first season as head coach. and his team's at the top. You couldn't write a better story than that. And then this is also going to be his third All-Star Classic bench assignment. No stranger to that at all. Meanwhile, Moore is going to be joining some elite company in Peter Laviolette and John Stevens as the only people to ever participate in an AHL All-Star event as both a player and a head coach. And then for Mitch Love, getting the honor after being named last season's AHL's Outstanding Coach as the Louis A.R. Pierre Award winner.
And then stop me if you've heard this name before on this show. Springfield Thunderbirds forward Will Bitten was named the Howie's Hockey Tape AHL Player of the Week for tallying 6 points, 2 goals, and 4 assists in just 3 games as a major factor in Springfield's recent 3-game winning streak. And for those of you who have only recently joined our pod this year, Bitten joined us last season right before the Calder Cup Finals. So, you know, anytime we get the chance to congratulate and root on a former pod guest, you know, we're going to take full advantage of it. So, you know, congrats, Bitsy, and here's hoping for more.
Now, we're going to be moving into a new weekly segment of the show, the AHL Elite Prospect of the Week. Now, this is, again, a new segment of the show with our brand new partner, Elite Prospects, the world's leading hockey resource for league, team, and player data. We're going to have a little bit more information on that here in just a few minutes. Of course, you can check them out over at eliteprospects.com. So now, every week, we're going to be awarding the Field Pass Hockey AHL Elite Prospect of the Week right here on the Holy Grail podcast, whether it's on ice play, some type of milestone or achievement, or something else that made them stand out. This is going to be basically our top player for the last week in AHL hockey. So our inaugural AHL Elite Prospect of the Week is going to the Charlotte Checkers' Grigory Denisenko. Fresh off an NHL stint with the Florida Panthers, Denisenko propelled his team to victory in 2 games on the road right before New Year's against the Cleveland Monsters. In total, in those 2 games, Denisenko had 3 goals and 2 assists. In the first of those 2 games against the home Monster squad, Denisenko had a 3-point night, factoring in all 3 goals to give the Checkers the edge 3-2. In a regulation win. And that win, they came from behind not once, but twice, with their first and final lead of the night coming off of Denisenko's penalty shot, which was the first converted penalty shot for the Checkers since Andrew Podorowski in January 16th, 2019. And then in a New Year's Eve matinee, which, unfortunately, I'm going to sidetrack here a little bit, said it was going to be a 12:31 puck drop. It actually dropped at 12:37. Yeah. Thumbs down. We are not doing this. Yeah. Ugh, I was so disappointed. Anyway, in that matinee game, Denisenko extending a 2-goal lead with a down-low jammer on goaltender Jack Greaves. The 22-year-old prospect left winger from Russia now has 15 points through 26 games this season with the Checkers. He's in his third pro North American season, all as a prospect with the Florida Panthers. In total, Denisenko has 42 points in 71 games played in the AHL with 20 goals, 22 assists, 26 penalty minutes, and is a minus 13. And of course, all data courtesy of our brand new partner, Elite Prospects. We're going to go ahead and move on into a little bit more of a news recap. You know, it's been a couple weeks since we've talked to you guys as we spent some holiday time off. So let's just get right into our weekly news recap. And we have a trade to talk about.
Yes, we do. And just hours before 2023, I mean, imagine popping the bottles of champagne with this one. We had one last trade. The Colorado Eagles sent Ben Tardif to the Wolfpack for D-man Luke Martin. Now, Tardif has scored 1 goal and 3 assists through 15 games this season with the Eagles. Well, Martin's been playing with Jacksonville in the East Coast, where he's registered 8 goals and 17 assists as a defenseman. Not bad.
We also had a retirement announced just before 2023 as well. Devontae Smith-Pelly has announced his retirement from the professional game, for now at least. He spent the last season as a player in 2021 and 22 with the Laval Rocket and the Ontario Reign in 2020 and 21. This has also been the year of the World Juniors for many hockey players who have been getting underway with the championships in Moncton and Halifax in Canada. A couple of key standouts, David Juracek, who's playing for the Cleveland Monsters this year. He's been playing with Czechia. Simon Nemec with Utica is playing for Slovakia. And Jiří Kulič is playing, who's with Rochester this year, is also playing with Czechia. And these have really been the tournament to watch. It's been close games, a lot of wide open games, and a lot of upsets. And some of the players that have been playing in the AHL have really been serving as a good showcase for the game. I know on a personal level, I've seen multiple Slovakia games so far, and I can tell you Simon Nemec is out there on the ice. He has the vision and he has the know-how on where to put the puck and how to put the puck into the net.
And then we are going to go ahead and wrap up this new segment with a few more league honors, because honestly, if we went into every single little piece of news that happened this last 2 weeks, this show is going to be 3 hours long. This time, we're going to be looking at the award winners for December in the AHL. Tucson Roadrunners forward Michael Carcone, Cleveland Monsters defenseman, we just talked about him, David Juracek, and Calgary Wranglers goaltender Dustin Wolf, all being selected as the league's award winners for the month of December 2022.
Yeah, so Carcone was named the AHL's Player of the Month, and tell me if you don't think this is an impressive one. Usually we talk about, you know, point per game pace being impressive. He tallied 10 goals and 10 assists for 20 points in only 10 games for Tucson during December. That's impressive.
Just slightly. Yep. Wow.
Without a doubt. No doubt about it. He earned those honors for sure. But going to talk about him a little bit more. David Juracek, he's been named the AHL Rookie of the Month. And David Juracek has been pivotal for the Monsters here over the course of December. You know, he had 2 goals, but he's got 10 assists for 12 points in only 9 games for the Monsters. He's a rookie defenseman. He's 19 years old, and he's putting up numbers like that. He's somebody who wasn't really marketed as somebody who had offensive firepower, but he's proving folks wrong left and right this season, putting up big numbers for the Monsters offensively.
Someone who's been putting up big numbers, Dustin Wolf with the Calgary Wranglers. I mean, he's been named the AHL Goaltender of the Month. He had an 8-1-0 record through 9 starts in December, stopping 263 shots out of 277 rather, with a 1.57 goals against average and a 9.49 save percentage to lead Calgary atop of the AHL standings. Fantastic.
I mean, Wolf has just had several great seasons here. I mean, we talked about him. Yeah, for sure. Like all of 2022 long, it seems like we're talking about Dustin Wolf's dominant play. And I'm just going to piggyback off of Jeremy real quick with David Juracek. If you are a fan of defensemen or just exciting young players, and we'll talk about this a little bit. Yes, Cleveland's struggling just a tad right now, but David Juracek has been it's been fun to watch as a brand new player to North American hockey and the professional ranks. So great job to all three of the players getting those awards. And then I do want to talk just one more point here in the news. I kind of led into it earlier on, but Field Pass Hockey, which is where we all work, where all of our content is housed, have entered into an exclusive partnership with Elite Prospects, a statistical hockey resource and database. You know, we are going into this multi-tier partnership, which the rollout begins today with this episode and our Elite Prospect of the Week. Again, beginning this week on all of our podcasts, The Holy Grail, Inside the SPHL, and The Rolling Thunder, Elite Prospects will also be sponsoring a feature of one outstanding player in all of those episodes with our spotlight. And basically, our goal here, by combining the knowledge of Elite Prospects and here with all of us at Field Pass Hockey, we're just looking to get more information and coverage of North America's top minor professional leagues out to you, the fans. So welcome, Elite Prospects, to the FPH family. We're looking forward to working for many, many seasons to come with this partnership. Right now, we're going to take a quick look at our Wheel of Fate. And guys, we have a shakeup to announce after dominating basically all season so far. For the first time, Corey has fallen out of first place and Zach has taken the lead by a whopping 3 points. So
I did it on the penalty kill too, which is all the better.
3 points is 3 points.
Things are going really great down here at the bottom, in case anyone's curious.
I get it. You got
Potts and Jake Lucchini, and you're at number five. How is that possible?
Well, look at the names underneath of it.
Fair.
But yeah, Zach taking the lead, 553 points. With Jonathan Berggren not really even able to contribute. He's up with Detroit. Zach's got, I mean, come on, Zach. What's going on here?
You know what? It's solely Coachella Valley. I think that my players on my teams have just gotten on these kind of good runs, I guess. And you know what? I'll take it. But I do think that it's just a quick high. It's going to come back down. And I think these teams are just hot for a minute. But who knows? We'll see what happens. I hope it stays the way it is.
And Corey in second place, not far behind at all, just 3 points back at 550. Are you still liking your team, Corey? Or are you looking at any rerolls here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of cannibalizing myself right now between my beat teams. You know, obviously, Zach has Zach Fucale from the Bears, who's been pretty good. I've just been straight up without a goalie for a couple of weeks here because Samuel Arison went up to Philadelphia. And, you know, I'm going to give it a little time before I give it a reroll, but it's not looking like he's going to come down anytime soon because he went up there and he's had three straight wins as the Flyers for the first time in franchise history. It's a nice little tidbit for you guys. Won their post-Christmas Western Conference road trip. So just when you think that they're not going to do anything this year, they surprise you. So, you know, it's been a little bit nuts there. And obviously, you know, I have two Providence Bruins. I'm pretty okay with the way my Bears kind of took care of them, you know, more or less with, you know, the exception of Saturday in a lot of ways to kind of keep them quiet. So, you know, I kind of feel like I just kind of cannibalized myself here a little bit in recent time.
And then regaining the third place position is Andrew. Last time, you know, he was on the show, he switched out one of his defensemen for William Lagesson. That was enough. He, you know, got over that 500-point threshold with 500.75 points to regain that third-place spot. How are you feeling there, Andrew?
You know, there's certainly I'm basically just looking at all my Lehigh Valley players, and no offense to Corey's team's farm team, but I'm just I'm not getting. I mean, Cal O'Reilly brings a whole lot and experience and leadership. I was hoping he could build upon the 53 points that he had last year, and well, he's only got about 40 more to go, and so if he gets about a point a game, they might tie that. But I'm not feeling great. But hey, I mean, I'm just going to keep kind of trying to grind and plug my way along, and we'll see what happens.
All right, and then I'm bringing up that fourth place spot, although I'm not far behind Andrew. He's got 500.75. I'm trailing right there at 497. Mine is basically just a symptom of, well, Fabian Lysel is currently on a World Junior squad. Zach Doupy is currently with the Florida Panthers. So whenever you have a few players that are inactive like that, you're not going to be getting as many points, but I'm overall still feeling very good, especially with my latest additions of Noel Hofemeyer out of Toronto and Atu Makaniemi out of San Jose. Yes, even though he's San Jose, I'm still feeling okay there so far. And then, Jeremy, do we have to chat about your team a bit?
Yeah, how chaotic am I allowed to be here on this episode?
You can be as chaotic as you want.
All right. So my only reroll that I've done this season, I think had to do with somebody being called up. No? Or am I wrong? I might be wrong.
I believe you might be right.
So does that mean I still have five?
I believe so. Are you going to reroll your entire team?
No, but between that blue line and that goalie, man, I might have to push my luck here a little bit with my – basically the people who keep the puck from going in the net, my defense and my goaltending.
I think you had this problem earlier because weren't they like the last you picked? And you got left with
yeah.
the scratch?
Yeah, I loaded up on my forwards pretty quick, and then things kind of went downhill from there. So, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again, they say. And if not, well, we're just going to, like I said, it's cozy down here at the bottom. I've got blankets and all sorts of the things. So
you're looking to re-roll two defensemen and a goaltender today to start off 2023?
Cool. We're doing it all. We're killing it. We're just going to do it. Yeah, those three. Let's get into it. Let's see how this goes for me.
Okay. Just let me know whenever you're ready, and I will spin the wheel for your first pick.
All right. Is this a defenseman, or is this a goaltender? Or does it
– You can do this in any order that you would like.
Let's make it a sandwich. We'll go defenseman first, then we'll go goalie, then we'll go defenseman again.
You're going to go with the Hershey Bears. That's an upgrade.
Feels like it has to be one, right?
Everyone looks at it.
The good news for you is, looking across, we do not have any of Hershey's defenders on any team.
You are better eligible, Dina.
What's that?
I said, if you, eligible defenseman, Aaron Ness.
Aaron Ness is eligible to anybody but me.
Okay. I misunderstood the rule then.
Yep. Nope. So for those that are wondering, like, what in the world are they talking about? So in my initial team, I picked Aaron Ness out of Hershey, but I did end up re-rolling on him. I think I've re-rolled on his re-roll as well. I can't remember how all that went down, but basically the rule is if we decide to re-roll on a player for any reason, whether it's a call-up or injury or just because, we can no longer select that player if we re-roll later on and get that team in that position again. But he's up for grabs for any of you guys, just not for me.
All right. So looking at this, okay, and Corey, correct me if I'm wrong here. Bobby Nardella has been hot recently, right?
Well, he's been injured recently, but so he's missed, oh man, it's been a good few weeks at this point. Okay. I'm kind of hoping, I mean, I can kind of say I was over a couple of practices on my days off here recently, and I have seen him skating, although I don't know that he's necessarily cleared for contact or, you know, what I can't, I'm not official to be able to give you a timeline on that one. But, you know, if you were looking for scoring, that would be the route to go when he comes back, because he, you know, he obviously quarterbacks the top power play unit when he's healthy. You know, the points kind of speak for themselves in that front there for sure.
So would you go him or Aaron Ness if you're open to helping the competition?
I mean, the nice thing if you pick Ness is that he runs the second power play unit, and those kind of been a, you know, 1A, 1B type of situation for the Bears. Obviously, the power play has not been Hershey's biggest strong suit recently. I'd be tempted to tell you to go with Nardella if you were, you know, just making a judgment call on that one, frankly. But, you know, I honestly don't think you can miss with either, because Ness has been hot of recent with his, you know, with getting some more points for sure.
Perfect. So let's go ahead. We'll go with Nardella. We'll hope he comes back.
All right, Bobby Nardella for Hershey is now off of the board, taking Lassie Thompson's place on Jeremy's team.
Go goaltender. Let's see how this goes.
All right, goaltender from the Ontario Reign.
Could be worse. Wow. You could have had a goalie from Hartford.
Could be worse, and you get to pick whatever goalie they have on their squad, because currently none of them are on our rosters.
Let's go with then. There's no way Phoenix Copley comes back down. He's been playing well for the Kings. Cal Peterson hasn't been bad. Really, none of them have been bad. I guess that's part of the perk of having good defense in Ontario. Let's go with Matthew Vialta.
Calvin Pickard from Bakersfield coming off the board in exchange for divisional rival Matthew Vialta out of Ontario. Okay, Jeremy, one more. How are you feeling?
If there's a God, this is going to be Syracuse.
Uh-oh, Chicago.
Not great. I'm not feeling great. If you want to know.
Well, let's put it this way. Last time Andrew rolled, he decided to immediately re-roll on a re-roll. Do you want to do that? Do you want to go for ultimate chaos here?
That, or you're just about to eat a bunch of minuses on your blue line?
That William Legison has a +3, right? Like, he's +3.
And he is also on Andrew's team.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Look at you getting the one defenseman on that team. That
he is that, not doing this.
That was his re-roll of his re-roll.
Yeah,
oh,
the Wheel of Fate guys decided to punish me on that one. So I could have had Samuel Bolduc, and I was like, no, I'm going to send it.
You know what? Let's do full chaos. Roll it again.
Full chaos. Here we go. Does he get Syracuse, or does he get somebody else?
As long as it's not Chicago.
Are you kidding me? The Texas Stars. Wow. You are lucking out here, my friend.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better about that. Okay, is anybody a no-go here?
Alex Petrovic is on Zach's team. And okay. I believe that's it. That is your only no-go.
And how many points are plus-minus for us?
It is basically whatever it is, that's what the points are. So if there are plus 10, that's going to give you 10 points. If there are minus 10, they're going to subtract 10 points. So it's basically one for one.
All right. So let's go with
Ryan
Shea.
Yeah. Plus 19. You can't beat it, man.
That's kind of my thought. Let's hope he keeps it up. Woo! Okay, cool. Great. I wore green for a reason today, so let's celebrate.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That deserves a we are doing this banner.
We are wasting four out of our five rerolls on one episode. We are doing that.
But that puts you into such a good position. You got some top teams across the league, and then you had open pick of their players. I mean, come on, Jeremy. You couldn't have done much better than that.
Felt pretty good about it.
So, cool. So I'm not going to sit here and do the math here, but we will be checking back in next week to see how Jeremy's ultimate chaos rerolls, basically is what they are, how that factored in. And we're just going to move right on in because, boy, the show's running just a little bit long here. All right, so we're going to roll right on into my favorite segment of the show, Swipe Left, Swipe Right, where the guys here are going to give you their hot takes from around the league, starting right off at the top with our A, Andrew.
For sure. And so last year, I remember just a lot of hype around the Pacific Division playoffs, and there was a lot of great chaos. I mean, you know, the Ontario Reign were a bit heavy favorite that were taken down early. The Colorado Eagles ended up pushing Stockton to the brink, and it was just all around just great hockey, great fun, and of all the brackets, I thought was just the most intriguing of anyone coming out and could possibly take a run at the entire thing. I think that's going to be the same again this year. I mean, Coachella Valley has just started off on fire, pun absolutely intended, with those Firebirds. The Wranglers might be better than they were last year down in Stockton. And, I mean, in all that chaos, you're looking at, you know, a Colorado Eagles team that half of the team is up and with the Avalanche, and they're still producing. You're looking at an Abbotsford team that's kind of a dark horse at third in the division. There's just chaos all up and down that Pacific Division. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of teams, which might kind of have to do something to do with it, but it just never feels stale. There's always like a new flavor of the week coming around, and I think that come playoff time, it's going to be just a powder keg ready to go.
I'll do a super swipe on it, and I'll say that just for the sole reason that this – The take 2 weeks ago, you were looking at a Pacific Division where it was Colorado and Ontario on the top, but now it's completely shifted upside down. I mean, Henderson has woken up. San Jose has fallen. I mean, it every week is almost something new, which seems like one team is having a problem, and then the next week it's up and down. And you know what? If Colorado can get back healthy, they'll be a deep run contender. Ontario, I believe, are a deep run contender. You know, you look at Calgary, you look at Coachella Valley, and you know what? Abbotsford is 100% that dark horse. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. You know what? Super swipe me all the way, because I don't know who's going to make it to the third round. And that's the honest truth.
Andrew, clarify for me when you say intriguing. Do you mean that it's going to be that it's, you know, like a car pile up type of thing intriguing, or is it like, you know, are you saying like the contender for the Calder Cup is going to come from this division? Clarify for me a little bit, I guess.
I'm not going to go ahead and say like the Calder Cup winner is going to come out of the Pacific just yet. As much as I've been pumping Calgary's tires for the last, well, since before October, I've been bitten by my own takes that way in the past, but just in terms of getting out of this bracket and getting into the conference championship, anyone can make it, except maybe San Diego. Everything else is wide open, and that's what I love about the Pacific.
Okay, I'll swipe right in that one then. I was looking at the division standings when I saw, you know, kind of a preview of your take here, and I was kind of thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I – you know, outside of maybe Calgary, you know, really, I'm not sure how many Calder Cup teams I see on that list right now. I'm in the Atlantic. I'm as far away from the Pacific as possible. So, you know, I'm kind of doing just a smell test on what I see in the standings board. But it looks like there's just, you know, a lot of teams up and down. You know, some teams are hot in their last 10. Some teams are ice cold. You know, there's just a lot of, you know, and I live for it, so it's okay. I live for the chaos here in a lot of ways. But, you know, I was kind of thinking to myself, like, I'm not sure if I, you know, see a Calder Cup winner there maybe necessarily, but I think there's a lot of potential for some great hockey and some great chaos there. So, yeah, I'll subscribe to that for sure.
I mean, I think anytime you have that many people at the table, right, like it's just bound to be a little bit more interesting. It's part of the reason why when you think about like March Madness, it's madness because anytime you get 68 teams to play in a tournament, chances are you're going to get somebody who is just absolutely, I don't want to say undeserving, but somebody who you would never have thought was going to be there. And so for that reason, I feel like it's just like an automatic right swipe. It's just, it is what it is with that division, and as long as it's as big as it is and as long as there are that many teams making the playoffs, it's always going to be fun to watch.
I'm going to right swipe on this too. It's a no-brainer, but what an inaugural season for the Coachella Valley Firebirds, going 20-6. And do you guys remember when we were concerned about that opening grueling stretch where they're going to be playing a lot of games in Canada, they're going to be away from home, from their families. And look at this. They lost 6 games through 29. What is going on?
They're good.
Yeah. I mean, great job to them. That Abbotsford Canucks team, I am enjoying this story arc this season with them. And what do you mean the 9-23 San Diego Gulls don't stand a chance? It could happen. You never know.
Yeah, they've only won about 3 or 5 games or something at home. So they're getting really close.
Oh, that hurts.
Baby.
They are 3-13-0 at home. So, you know.
Ouch.
As long as the series doesn't shift to Prochenko Arena, they should be fine. Right?
So they got to sweep it early on, basically.
Yeah, they got to do the road sweep.
Okay, fair.
So I had a weird one for you guys this week. I've been kind of sitting on this one since we haven't really done this segment in a couple of weeks. But and it's almost a month old at this point. So I couldn't find a video of it or else I would have had it. And I did not know how to clip, you know, this moment before. But I was watching a game last month between the Philadelphia Flyers and New Jersey Devils. And a New Jersey player got a penalty during the game as they were on a penalty kill for tossing his stick from a defender to another guy, you know, kind of just lobbing it gently across from one guy to another, laterally type of thing. And the rule is that you have to actually physically hand off your hockey stick to somebody else. You know, one player holds it, the other guy grabs it, and the first guy lets go type of thing. And it kind of like, you know, I get that penalty, but my thought was, we see these guys are so skilled, you know, like whether it's, you know, you watch their puck skills in warmups, how easily they can flip their sticks back up to themselves type of thing. Is there any, you know, thought between any guys that the NHL and the AHL by extension should revisit changing that rule? Because my thought was, I'd love to see that sort of thing be allowed. I mean, it's not hurting anybody. They're not throwing their sticks at somebody. They're lobbing it to each other. I'd kind of like to see more creativity like that get rewarded. I mean, the poor guy that got the penalty was doing this where he was bonking his head himself with a stick on the helmet as he was skating to the penalty box for not remembering that rule. And I was thinking to myself, like, we just don't see that very much. And I was kind of like, man, I'm kind of like to see that maybe get a second look with how skilled these guys are.
Well, I saw a play this past Saturday when I was in Van Andel Arena where a player on the Admirals lost his stick and his buddy, it was like a real deft, like, but like skilled play. He picked up his stick with his stick and kind of like tossed it over to his boy and was like, that's okay, but you can't throw it like sideways or with your leading with your hand, but you could totally just, you know, use your stick and just yeet it as far as you want. I mean, he was right there. It wasn't like he yeeted it across the ice, but what I'm saying is, I mean, you don't want to get into the habit of like directing your stick towards, you know, someone else who might have the puck or someone else who might not be aware of it. But I think all these, I mean, right, if you throw your stick at someone, I think that should be a penalty. But you're not throwing it at them. You're like, hey, you know, here's the stick. And I don't know. I think that rule is kind of lame, but I guess that's just me. I forget do I swipe right if it's lame or do I swipe left if it's lame?
Swipe left if it's lame.
Okay, I'm swiping left on that. Yeah,
I kind of like it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I – like you said, because you've seen that play before where, you know, a guy will pick up another stick with his stick and, you know, to a guy without a stick and he'll catch it and keep playing. And, you know, that's one of the things where it's like, wow, it's an impressive skill. But somebody lobbing it in midair and then the other guy catching it in midair to me is just as impressive and takes just as much skill. But, you know, it's also a slippery slope because, you know, you also have – obviously you can't throw your stick at somebody. You know, where do you draw the line at? So I guess I kind of get it, but it's – it's kind of a, you know, a gray area for sure. So mine's more of a, you know, obvious, I guess if you're comparing it to a dating app, it'd be, you know, if you're posting some spicy pictures as your profile and just seeing what fish you net with it type of thing.
And Corey, you must have just been tapping into my brain because that's exactly where I was going with it is that would open up such a slippery slope. I've seen so many people talking about trying to change rules and things. And then there's always that devil's advocate person, you know, in the conversation going, but how will people look to exploit that? Will they say, oh, well, you know, they would throw a stick to try to take a player out and just saying, but I was trying to get my stick to my guy. You know, where does that end? But I think that's a totally different discussion. I personally don't like the rule, but I also see why it's there. I'm kind of like in the middle, but in terms of just at face value, yeah, I'll swipe left on that rule too.
You know what? I think I'm kind of the opposite opinion, and I think that it actually should be kept in place because I think about it for a couple of reasons. And I get that this isn't your beer league hockey game because, you know, in those kind of scenarios, yeah, that's going through someone's helmet. But in the NHL and extension to the AHL as well, I think about how fast the game is, right? At what point does someone just try to cross over and just try to change positions, change the grid, go off for a change, and then it wonks some guy in the face, right? When you're flicking your stick like that. And the other side of it for me too is at what point does that become like the Avery rule, right? Where you're using this now more as a distraction, right? And again, it's a part of that slippery slope. So I think I'm all for keeping it in place, but I do see why someone would actually want to outlaw that.
Yeah, I'm of a similar opinion. When I think about this rule, it's hard to like, what's the line, right? Like, how far are you able to lob your stick before it becomes an issue? I mean, even instances of like, and this is me leading down the rabbit hole and being rude and trying to poke every hole in what you said, Corey, and I apologize, but it's like, what if you've got an empty net on the other side of the ice and you quote unquote lob your stick, but what happens if somebody drops it and somehow it hits the puck, right? Like somehow it deflects the puck, which would be a goal if any other circumstance were happening. So for me, I think it's just like, it needs to be like played out a little bit more. I didn't even know that you couldn't do that, to be honest with you. Like that, like would have surprised me to see it happen and to see a penalty called for it. But knowing that that's the rule, I think it's just hard. This is one of those, like, have to get the procedures down before you change the policy kind of thing. And so it's kind of hard just for me to wrap my brain around it.
You know, like I said, I really wish I had that clip of it to, you know, kind of see. Because, like, it was a very skillful play. Like, in its own way, like, it was illegal, but it was still really skillful. And so that's why I was like, I'm going to present this to the group for scrutiny here more than anything. Just because it was something like, it kind of got me thinking. I'm like, I've really never really considered, you know, obviously I'm the biggest proponent of getting rid of the trapezoid as you'll ever find, just for some more maximum chaos type of thing. So, you know, to me, I'm also kind of like, man, if that guy, you know, D to D lobs his stick and that guy catches it and clears the puck, like that's pretty cool right there type of thing. But, you know, by also that logic, how could he have not just skated a couple of steps over and handed his stick off type of thing too? So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's pluses and minuses. I'm not even sure what I'd pick. Obviously I'd probably go for the chaos on it, honestly, but you know, there are times where I'm like, man, I think you could just go either way, frankly.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I've got one here that might be a little bit controversial, but we'll go with it anyway. I'm going to sit here and say that the AHL should take a break. The same way that the NHL does during the Olympics and all that kind of stuff, I think the AHL should take a break not only during the World Juniors but also during the Spengler Cup. Thankfully, on the calendar, they line up, makes it a little easier. But in a similar fashion, the best of the AHL are being taken out of the game to go play in the World Juniors and potentially even in the Spengler Cup. And we're seeing a competitive disadvantage to multiple teams right now. Cleveland is struggling without David Yurecek. And you've got other teams. I'm sure that Rochester would love to have Jurij Kulich right now, although they're doing fine enough, I suppose. But that's my proposal. Let's take a pause during the World Juniors and Spengler Cup in the AHL.
There's no way it's going to happen. You're going to at the end of the day, this is a league that you're going to pipeline guys up into the NHL, and you're going to have these guys sitting out for, you know, one, two roster spots when at any time there could be an injury up top. Like, hey, we're going to need a guy, and oh, yeah, let me just send you up this guy who hasn't skated in 2 weeks. I mean, I and I just, you know, I love the World Juniors. I love seeing these kids compete on that stage for what it is. And I think they should be afforded that opportunity. And for the guys who are here, that sucks. You might be losing one of your top defensemen, but, you know, that's just kind of the, I think this is kind of the way the world is. Yeah, you're kind of taking it all in this one. I'm sorry, Jeremy. That's a left swipe.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Andrew on this one. It's going to be a left swipe from me. The AHL is such a league where it's, you know, everyone's kind of got different degrees of struggle, right? Like, you know, everyone's kind of got their own injury situation. Everyone's kind of, you know, got their own degree of adversity they're going through. Just from a logistics standpoint, you know, there's a lot of games to play. Even if it's, you know, a week off type of thing, I mean, even that's kind of stretching it a little bit. Type of thing, if they were to align the schedules and it would be no more than a week, I could see it. And maybe I'm just a little bit biased as somebody that can't even watch the, you know, World Juniors if I wanted to type of thing. I have a little bit of bias on that front, I guess. But, you know, to me, it's you're losing a couple of players. That stinks, you know, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of teams have lots of personnel issues right now. I personally, you know, I think, you know, like, for instance, for my team, for the Bears, is that, you know, their attendance was at record highs this past week, right over Christmas type of thing. It doesn't make sense for them. It doesn't make sense for a lot of teams. I think that when the revenue is that high, especially to take that time off, too.
And that's going to be the sticking point, is when this all lines up. I don't think you're going to find any team that is in such a gate and concession driven league that would give that up. I mean, we are talking about between the World Juniors and Canada Spengler Cup teams. There are 16 players that are basically on break or on loan from the American Hockey League. I mean, just some notable names. We talked about Wyatt Kalanick out of Abbotsford, Riley Nash in Charlotte, Brendan Perlini, Chicago, Nick List Boden, Laval, you know, we talked about Juracek, Fabian Lysel out of Providence. Yeah, these are players that make impacts, but I'm going to have to left swipe on this too, just because with it happening right after Christmas, that's going to be a hard sell for these team owners and the league to give up that revenue.
I'll make mine pretty quick, and I'll swipe left. I'll say it for a couple of reasons. I think about the Marlies, who have their Boxing Day Classic at the Air Canada Centre, or at the Scotiabank, and as well, their New Year's Eve games are usually do good, just like everybody else. But you think about the Spengler Cup, there's only two teams that really draw from other leagues. That's the Swiss team and the Canada team. Obviously, they were kind of big hits for the AHL, but when you think about the World Juniors, you got to think about all of the other leagues that aren't stopping as well, right? All the WHL, OHL, CHL, you name it. And then not to mention all the European leagues, the KHL, the DELs, the Swiss A's, all those type of people aren't stopping. I don't think the AHL should either. And Andrew made a good point about not skating for 2 weeks and then getting called up to the Red Wings.
Hey, they call him a hot take for a reason.
And so I've been kind of stewing on this one for a little bit because it's been a little while, but I seen the suspension come across my desk. Okay. So, McElrath on Hershey was assessed an instigator penalty within the final 5 minutes of the third period, resulting in an automatic one game suspension under the provision rule of AHL 46.21. So, he got a fight in the final 5 minutes of the game, and now he's suspended for the next game. I think that that rule should be outlawed. I think that hockey is such a game of honor and respect for your teammates. So if you get decked into the boards and then your teammate comes in to fight this guy, you're going to get suspended a game. I think that that should be outlawed.
I think it has to do with the instigator that was attached to it in the final 5 minutes. Because, right, you guys know me. I love the physicality. I love the honor code that, you know, you got to step up for your guy. Sometimes you got to step up for a hit that you made, and you drop the gloves, and it's settled right there. But there is a difference when, let's say, you're getting pumped and you just kind of go your pound of flesh just to kind of send a message. That's where injuries happen. When you know you drop the gloves and you're going after a guy who might not be engaged with you and might not be ready for that. Now, if you challenge someone in the last 5 minutes and it's a mutual, all right, we're going, that's different. But I get up for a good round of fisticuffs just as much as anyone else, but I do understand why this rule is in place, and there's been a lot of these rule changes to kind of tone down a bit of the goonery a little bit, and that's just also kind of part of the game in this day and age. So as far as that goes, if the other guy's willing to go, I'm all for sending it, but I do think that rule for the instigator in the last 5 minutes has to stay, so I'm going to swipe left on this one as well.
By abolishing this rule, you're going to introduce maximum anarchy at the end of every single AHL game. Part of me is here for this, but I do like it with the caveat of if it's the instigator, you know, if it's just, you know, how we see so many times where it's like both players each 5 minutes fighting. Yeah. I don't think that should, you know, carry over into another game, but if somebody instigates this, you know, yeah, I can see why we would need that. So I think that's a swipe left.
I think the thing for me is like this rule completely removes any potential for subjectivity, right? Like it like doesn't allow for there to be pause and thought. And I'm not saying that you can't suspend people for instigating a fight in the last 5 minutes of a game, but for it to be an automatic suspension specifically, that's where I have a little, because like there's so many things that can happen in a game, right? Like there's so like, of course, if it's a 8-0 blowout and you just get somebody who decides to, you know, start, you know, Happy Gilmore-ing it out on the ice. Like, yeah, like maybe we should suspend that guy. Right. But I think if you're in a 3-3 game and there's a really dirty hit and a guy takes exception, then I'm for it. I don't know. I think get rid of the rule as written and allow for some space there to, for some subjectivity in whether or not somebody is suspended. So I guess that's a bright swipe, right? Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. I'm totally for that too, right? Like I'm not one for these 8-0 blowouts and we have a sore loser, right?
Well, it's interesting. You had to mention this. So with the McElrath suspension, especially what kind of, I feel like kind of gets not talked about as much with that, this sort of thing, is the fact that if I remember this play you're talking about specifically, is that it was well and truly, you know, the game was basically over. It was the Bears and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And the guy that Dylan McElrath fought was Jordy Bellreeve, who is, you know, a little bit of a scrapper, a little bit of a, you know, has a tendency for these kinds of things himself, you know, took a liberty on hitting McElrath, you know, a little bit from the side into the boards. I don't remember the exact hit, but, you know, it was a little extra for it being the last minute of the game in a game where that, you know, it was already kind of a coast in the last minute type of thing. I can't remember what the score was other than I believe Hershey was up, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, McElrath kind of took exception to that hit, you know, went over, kind of, you know, challenged Bellreeve, and, you know, by that definition, it was McElrath that instigated this fight. But, you know, the hit that Bellreeve kind of laid on beforehand doesn't really get talked about in the suspension at all. It's kind of, you know, more like Bellreeve suckered McElrath into, you know, kind of challenging him to a fight and thus getting a suspension type of thing. And, you know, one game is not the end of the world, but, you know, McElrath's a key part of the team. So I kind of say all that to say it would be nice to see a little bit more flexibility with the rule, or, you know, if one guy's going to go, the other guy's got to go if that's the case too. Like, it needs to be more subjective, I guess, to the actual play rather than just an automatic, hey, you started a fight, boom, you're gone for a game type of thing. Because it's usually deeper than that, right? Like, there's a little bit more going on in the game at all times. So I give it a swipe right, at least to see the automatic nature of that type of hit reviewed personally.
So I have a bit of a wild card here. I want to share a clip of something that happened on the New Year's Eve game between the Charlotte Checkers and the Cleveland Monsters. Some of you may know what I'm about to share. So in this clip, we have an incident with Brett Gallant and John Ludwig, who is in a full mask. Brett Gallant, known scrapper here in the AHL. Behind the screen here, Brett Gallant in this fight removes the helmet from John Ludwig. Whenever the linesman takes him away, he skates with it. And just watch what happens here. And I'm curious, is do you think that this should have warranted a suspension? And so he throws it, doesn't make it, goes back, throws the helmet in the crowd for a second time.
Didn't Danny Alfredson get suspended for throwing his stick into the crowd years ago in a game versus Toronto? It is 100% a rule. And I think it's there for a couple of reasons. Fan safety is probably the biggest one. The unnecessary chaos of it is hilarious to someone who's watching at home. But, you know, again, it's a slippery slope kind of thing, right? So what happens if you tomahawk throw that into the crowd and, you know, that hits the wrong person, right? Or if someone's not paying attention and they get hit with a hard helmet or a plastic hockey, microfiber hockey stick. Right?
Yeah, I'll give him one free one, but when he missed and came back and threw it over, that's probably where he gets the saucy. But no, yeah, to echo Zach's point, I think that kind of just, it opens up like, okay, well, what can we not throw into the crowds? And it's like, you know, at what point, you know, it's just, it would open up the league for, you know, someone's looking down at their cell phone, not watching what's going on, or, you know, like, ooh, I want to like get a video of the scrum going on. Next thing you know, they look down and they're getting dinged in the head and lawsuit for the AHL. So, probably I don't want to, cause it's right. It's fun in the fun spirit, but you got to look at the bigger picture in these kinds of things. And again, I give him one free one, but when he goes back and throws it over again, that's a sussy.
I wouldn't even be kind enough to give him one. I mean, I think as soon as you do that, I think it's, you know, you're opening yourself up for that. I mean, what we just talked about with the instigator rule there a little bit too, is that, you know, it feels like they're trying to put a kibosh on some of the shenanigans they get up to in hockey, right? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, again, it's different. It's not something you see all the time. People aren't chucking helmets into the stands every game of the guy they just fought type of thing. But, you know, when it's extra, it's too much. It's one of those things where it's kind of disrespect after he just kind of went through the effort to remove a guy with a cage is not an easy guy to remove, not an easy helmet to remove off, as anyone who's worn a cage can probably say. I think, you know, as soon as he does that action, you're at least opening the door for the conversation about it. Now, whether the league does it and calls it, you know, unsportsmanlike or something, you know, that's a whole nother different discussion. But I think as soon as he did that, skating off with it is kind of one thing. He may have gotten away with it if he skated off with it in his hand or something and, you know, maybe throws it against the wall in the locker room or something like that. Who knows? But as soon as you chuck it, you make a motion like that, I think that's just where the, you know, the sheriff's going to come and arrest you type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially with history, I think you kind of have to, like, perhaps throw one his way. Like, that's the other piece.
Yeah, and, you know, Corey brought this up about the suspension, which made me, it kind of like, ooh, light bulb in my head. It's like, I haven't heard anything about a suspension yet, but we're going to kind of look into this just a little bit. So during the game, he was awarded a 2-minute roughing minor, 2-minute minor for removing the opponent's helmet, and then a 10-minute game misconduct for throwing equipment. In the rule book, it is 23.9 under other infractions that could result in a game misconduct. There is a rule about any player or non-playing club personnel who physically interferes with the spectators, becomes involved in an altercation with a spectator, or throws any object at a spectator shall automatically incur a game misconduct penalty, which we saw here. And then the referee shall report all such infractions to the president, Scott Housen, who shall have full power to impose such further penalty as he shall deem appropriate. So maybe because it wasn't, you know, a hard throw, it was just a, you know, lob, you know, after everything. Maybe he's, you know, they decided that 14 minutes worth of penalties is enough. But I will say that that did push Brekalant into a milestone alert, a milestone of 1,500 penalty minutes for his AHL career. But yeah, that was just something I wanted to show you guys. So we're going to go ahead real quick and we're going to look at who is hot and who is not in the American Hockey League. This time we're going to go alphabetical by division. Corey, lead us off.
All right. So for mine, I'm kind of going beat bias here again. I've been watching the Hershey Bears a lot. It's been a really great stretch for them here recently. They just keep finding ways to win hockey games. You know, they got particularly, you know, more than a line's worth of players out with injuries and illness right now. You know, thankfully it's kind of been calm in terms of, you know, recalls and all that sort of stuff, but the injury bug has kind of bit them and they got guys stepping up. I mean, one of the biggest guys is Ethan Frank, who's now one of the league's top rookie goal scorers here. And I do have a bit of a hot take. The Bears did lose their New Year's Eve game to the Providence Bruins, but my hot take in that respect is that I think the Bears could have easily won that game. They had a couple of fluky goals, you know, unusual goals, I should say, scored against the one-hit Hunter Shepherd in the side of the mask and just dropped in behind him type of thing. Another play, he was literally unable to play the puck because a Bear and a Bruin had both fallen kind of into his lap type of thing, and it was kind of deemed, you know, the contact was initiated by the Bears player type of thing. They've been fantastic. And, you know, with so many guys out, you know, it's a lot of big names type of thing. Garrett Pilon's one of them. Obviously, Bobby Nardella is another. Henrik Borgstrom. You know, they're all guys that are big contributors, right? So I've been very impressed with what they've been able to accomplish here in this recent stretch against some really tough opponents, right? I mean, Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre always give them, you know, their full, you know, push them to the limits type of thing. This last stretch has been fantastic for them, but, shifting gears to not, another Atlantic Division team, Bridgeport. They've lost 7 games in a row and now they've kind of fallen from their once, you know, third place fighting for second to now be fighting for their lives in third place against, you know, car pileup of different teams that are kind of down there. Right. They lost 7 games in a row. And the reason for it is the Atlantic Division is a pretty stingy division, but Bridgeport's goals against is among the highest. They're 107 goals against, which is the top in the division. So, you know, they've been scoring a lot of goals. They have 108 goals for, but when you're allowing 107 goals against some of the teams that, you know, play host to the Atlantic Division, it's not going to end well for you more times than not. And, you know, they've kept it close. That's kind of the saving grace for a lot of the teams in the Atlantic that are struggling. They've kept a lot of close scores, but it's just not sustainable for the Islanders. And we talked about that earlier this season. It's kind of been a trend. They score a lot of goals. They give up a lot of goals. But it's not working out for them right now. And they really got to watch or else, you know, they could see a pretty drastic slide here pretty soon.
Yeah, and you know, taking a look at the North, who's been hot and who's not. So Rochester has looked really good. You know, don't look now, but they've got a 6-game winning streak under their belt. Brandon Biro has been amazing for the Amherst here in his last, most of the season, but in his last 7 games specifically, he's got a stat line of 4-9-13. They're just racking up wins courtesy of anybody who will give it to him right now, whether that be in the North or outside of the division. And so they're a team that's kind of sniffing on the heels of Toronto right now here, looking at the top of the North division, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But it pains me to say this. It hurts. Who's not hot? It has to be the Cleveland Monsters. It has to be a team that started the season, you know, fairly decent. I mean, they, again, we've talked about it, have been benefited by just the overall lack of defensive prowess in the North and the lack of really stellar goaltending there. And they've found ways to win games. They've found ways to win high scoring games, but that's just not happening right now. In their last 10, they're 3-7, no loser points there, just a flat out 3-7. They've fallen back to currently points wise sixth in the division, although we'll talk about that a little bit later. And in their last 10 games, they've given up 44 goals. 44 goals in 10 games. It's just not looking good for the Monsters. And if they don't figure this out fast, thankfully for them, they've got Andrew Olof. Thankfully for the Monsters, they play Grand Rapids in Chicago this week. So hopefully a chance to get back into the W column for them, but they're going to need it fast because this team is taking on water pretty quick.
As we move into the Central, holy shnikes, the Texas Stars are hot. They are 10-0-1 in their last 11 games. I mean, this team's just on fire right now, and you wonder why they're at the top of the standings. Well, you know, here you go. And as part of that team, Riley Barber, he continues to hold the AHL goal-scoring lead with 19 markers in 31 games, and that's a big reason why this team has scored 120 goals total, tied with the Calgary Wranglers for the AHL lead, another team that's just been blazing. They are doing that. And as for not, if that Barber stat line wasn't depressing enough for you Griffins fans, well, here's some more. The Grand Rapids is down there in dead last. They've lost three straight games, and they're just heading into an absolute buzzsaw of a weekend series coming up here against those aforementioned Texas Stars. I mean, I know it looks bad, Grand Rapids, but it can always get worse.
They could not be doing an amazing bobblehead giveaway this weekend. So have fun with that.
When I think about the Pacific Division, I'll talk a little bit about who's been hot team-wise, but there's been one guy I really wanted to highlight, and that's Matthew Phillips. He is just absolutely on fire. He hasn't played nearly the same amount of games. He's down 6 or 7 games compared to some of the other leaders on the leaderboard. 35 points in 24 games played. 18 of those points are goals. That's good for second best in the league. And he's got to be the hot, and that's it. I mean, and not before I say anything else, I want to play a clip from week one of the AHL.
Taking a look at the Pacific Division, I'm going to tell you something that I wouldn't have said 6 months ago. San Jose is tied for first in the Pacific Division with a perfect 2-0 record, both Coachella Valley and San Jose winning their weekend series.
Okay, since then, San Jose has fallen a lot. And by a lot, I mean a lot. They won their first 4 games of the year. Yeah, no, that's gone. They haven't won a game, and get this, 8 straight. Okay? They're free falling down the standings. They're what? 4th to last? They're 7th. They're 13-18. I mean, something's got to change for the Barracuda, but they've been outshot. They've been shut out twice in December. In those 8 games, rather, and they've been outscored 39-12 over those 8 games. So you're not going to win when you're only scoring 12 goals.
Yeah, if we had the oof of the week, that would be a big toss-up right now between Cleveland and San Jose right now. But to get a clear picture on where everybody stands in the standings, yeah, that came out naturally. Where do they stand in the standings? We are going to take a look at the race for the Holy Grail, starting once again in the Atlantic Division.
Yes, the Atlantic's really an interesting landscape right now. You kind of have the Providence Bruins winning on New Year's Eve kind of brought them and the Bears a little closer together. Still Hershey in first place at 47, Providence is at 43. So it's still pretty close here. You know, Providence has a game in hand. There's a lot of intrigue still there. But once you get from third on, it's really interesting. Third to the bottom is a separation of 7 points. And then you can, you know, whittle that down to 4 if you factor out the Hartford Wolfpack at the bottom there. And they're still not out of it by any stretch. But, you know, it's truly anybody's game. I mean, thankfully there's only, you know, 2 teams that miss the playoffs anymore in the Atlantic Division. But, you know, it's a total pile up here. I mean, you know, you got Charlotte actually knocked Bridgeport off of their perch now that I'm seeing an updated standings list here. That, you know, Charlotte at third and 35, Bridgeport at 34, Wilkes-Barre and Springfield coming in fifth and sixth at 33 each, and Lehigh Valley still not out of it at 31. I mean, you know, that's as close as it's been all year. So maximum chaos as to who would walk away with the, you know, playoff home ice seating in the best of three if the playoffs ended today or even tomorrow could change. So there's a lot of intrigue there. No one's really out of it, you know, just waiting for somebody to find their game and heat up. There's a lot of teams that are really being impacted by injuries and recalls and all that stuff. So it's a tough sell right now for who the clear-cut favorite is in that respect.
Yeah, and really when you look at the North, I mean, Utica hit Cleveland with that Uno reverse card. They've pretty much swapped places here over the course of the 2 weeks that we've been gone. And so Cleveland technically sitting at fifth points percentage in North. So you hope that they've got some games in hand. You hope that they can make up some of those points and you know, remain in the playoff hunt. But they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. They're going to need to, like I said, pick it up to make sure they're not on the outside looking in for a second year in a row, which would be a huge disappointment given all the prospects on this team that need to get some playoff time. So other than that, like I said, Rochester has had themselves quite the stretch here, and they're out here looking at the top of the division, and they think it's theirs, and they're gonna make a run for it. Everything else still pretty status quo, just that flip of position for Utica and Cleveland. But what, I mean, hey, shout out to Utica. I mean, Utica started the season a little slow. They were plagued with a couple of, I think they had at least one game get postponed. They just didn't really get into rhythm at the start of the season, but they seem to be there now. They seem to be there and they seem to be locked in. So we'll want to keep an eye out on Utica because they might do another Uno reverse and have the opposite start to their season as they did last year, where they started 13-0 and then, you know, sputtered into the playoffs, but maybe they're going to get high here toward the middle part of the season.
Mm-hmm. And the stars shine bright in the Central Division. Their absolute heater of a run has them at the top of the standings here, but don't look too far back because Rockford's own 3-game winning streak has them coming in right behind them. And then Milwaukee dummy Grand Rapids twice to end up at third and running that out. You got Manitoba and Iowa coming in with 35 and 30 points respectively. And hey, guess what? Chicago and Grand Rapids remain at the bottom. Now, Chicago has been playing better as of late. Ryan Suzuki's finally healthy. They've got Jack Drury back down there. They're up 2-0 on Iowa right now. So things, I think, are starting to look up a little bit in Rosemont, but they still have a mountain to climb to get back up in the relevancy. And for Grand Rapids, I just really don't know. I think I kind of ragged on them enough. I'll you guys, you know what you did.
Over here in the Pacific, the West Coast has proven to be the best coast. The Firebirds rule the world here. The division had a massive shakeup thanks to streaks from Coachella Valley and Calgary. I'll run down the list and we'll talk about them super quickly. Coachella Valley, Calgary, Abbotsford, Colorado, Tucson, Ontario, San Jose, Henderson, Bakersfield, San Diego. So those top three teams, Coachella Valley, Calgary, and Abbotsford, all have won 8 of their last 10 games. Colorado, Tucson, Ontario are on a bit of a tough streak. But as we know, that they've been kind of doing pretty good throughout at least the first part of the season. And so things may change a little bit there. And even Tucson at this point, you know, they've had their kind of struggles even in this season. But I wouldn't count them out as a playoff contender for sure. Then there's the bottom, okay? San Jose is once again bad. We talked about it. Won't talk about it anymore. Henderson is doing Henderson things, as we all know, and they'll get some help, and then Vegas will send someone down or send someone up, and then that's it. Bakersfield is, you know, they 3 games and 3 points behind, but they've lost 7 of the last 10, so they're not really doing a whole lot there. And you know, then there's San Diego, a 2-9 record in December, a 3-13 record at home. And you know what? That's all I'm going to say for Lucas Dostal.
Now we're going to take a look into the future with our Game of the Week picks.
Yeah, sure. So give me the games between the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins and the Charlotte Checkers on Friday. Talking about how jam-packed the division is, here's a pair of games that are really pivotal for both teams here. I mean, Wilkes-Barre is only 2 points back of Charlotte, for third place, as high as that can possibly be. They play on Wednesday, and then they play again on Friday, which, you know, it's an important point swing for both teams. I'd be a little bit nervous if I'm a Wilkes-Barre fan. I'm sure you guys probably saw the Winter Classic. The Penguins lost a goaltender over the course of that game when Tristan Jarry exited. The dominoes have fallen, and Dustin Tokarski was recalled by Pittsburgh just today, I believe, as this is being recorded on Tuesday, meaning that the Penguins are now without Tokarski and without Philip Lindbergh, because it sounds like he's out with injury and there's no timeline for when he's going to come back yet. So the Penguins actually had to go to Taylor Gauthier, their young third stringer from Wheeling, on New Year's Eve. And they'll probably go back to him maybe for as many as both games here. They haven't even called up a backup goaltender as of this recording, although it may be a familiar face in Tommy Napier coming back up. But if I'm Wilkes-Barre, I'm a little nervous about that, you know, having to test your depth and goal, which was previously their biggest strong suit, especially against a Checkers team that's won four games in a row here. So I'd be a little bit nervous, but, you know, hey, Wilkes-Barre can turn it around and suddenly find themselves in, you know, third place if they win both of these games. So that's my game to watch for this weekend.
Yeah, and Providence is in no way, shape, or form in trouble of anything, but there are some parallels to the hot start that Providence had this year and the hot start that Utica had last year. And these two teams match up for an interdivision matchup on Sunday, and I'm excited to see how this one goes. Providence has been, you know, cream of the crop at some points this season in the Atlantic. Utica is starting to pick up. It feels like a really good test for the Comets outside of the division, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle the task.
And while we're sticking with out-of-division matchups, I'm going with Friday's game. We got Manitoba going into Laval. And Manitoba's beginning a unique stretch in their schedule with six games against the Canadian teams in the North Division starting here in Quebec. And, you know, the Moose are going to want to get off to a good start on this road trip while, you know, the Rocket are looking to remain in the hunt after kind of climbing out of the basement of the North. And I think you got two teams with something to prove here. It ought to be a good matchup.
You know what? Friday's San Diego at Milwaukee is going to be for me. Look, San Diego has played some relatively good teams in the Pacific Division. I'll give them that. And you know what? Imagine the kind of confidence they could get if they beat an outside division opponent. You know what? Milwaukee might not be the ideal way to do it, but Milwaukee is a good team in the Central Division. And if they can manage to beat Milwaukee, then you have a really big confidence boost when you're going back to the Pacific Division to take on some big heavyweight contenders.
Hey, and we also have a little bit of free hockey for you here this coming weekend. On January 7th, that's this Saturday, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms will be in Toronto to take on the Marlies in a late afternoon 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time tilt as the AHL TV free game of the week.
And we also have live action on the Field Pass Hockey app. We kick off. Oh, yeah, get that noise bell right in. It's 2023. We're getting off back on the right side of things. We kick off Friday with two teams close in numbers. The 16-14 Charlotte Checkers take on the 14-14 Penguins. The 7:05 start time won't deter the matchup on ice. I can promise it'll be a good one. You can check that on the Field Pass Hockey app. If you're allergic to 0-5 games like me, I have a solution. It's a remedy of the Bears and Checkers. That's Saturday, 7 p.m. start time. It will cure any doubts. The doctor's in the house, and it will cure all those AHL poor life decisions. I'll mention this. We'll be back on Tuesday as well for the game between Hartford and Charlotte at the Bow, and that's 7 ET. You can download the Field Pass Hockey app. Catch the three games on there at those times. It's on the Google Play Store and the Apple Store as well.
So it sounds like Charlotte's redeeming themselves from that 12:37 start on the 31st.
Oh, you know what? That was the biggest hunk of foolishness I ever seen. That, you know what? All that hype for what? Sorry, but what did that accomplish? Okay? You know what? We're not going to get into this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to do this. But we're
We didn't have to do this, but yet we did. And here we are, 12:37. An outrage. 6 minutes. An outrage.
Yes, I agree. But do you know who is doing the thing right now? apparently the Utica Comets and the Chicago Wolves. Utica up 3-2 over Toronto. Chicago up 2-0 over Iowa. Some stuff might be happening here, guys. Utica is continuing on. It's chaos to start 2023, but we are going to round out this show with the bonus round. Corey took the last bonus round led by Andrew in a height-inspired bonus round. He definitely got the better of me in that one. So, Corey, what do you have to start off 2023?
Well, I had to do some stat digging for this one, courtesy of Elite Prospects on this one, since thankfully they make this easy on me. We talked a little bit earlier about how Todd Nelson is the first Bears head coach since the 2010-2011 season to make an All-Star nomination. Can you guys name another Bears head coach to earn, since it's been so long, to receive a similar honor?
I should know by now to brush up on all of my Hershey Bears knowledge before Corey leads a bonus round.
Yeah, your question was, can you name them? My answer is no. I can't.
I was going to take the top one off the board, but I figured it's been so long since it's happened that I let it hang out here, because it's kind of an old head and kind of question to know, since it's been well over a decade at this point. I was surprised to learn that information actually myself.
Zach had a guess.
I thought it was Boudreau, but if it's been that long, then
he's on the list. So, I mean, that is one that, you know, that has gotten the award. I'd be willing to accept it if no one else has any other, you know, at least the most recent one here for sure.
I have.
It's kind of a deep
no
cut.
Idea.
I couldn't even.
We'll accept Bruce Boudreau because he's on the list here. But the most recent one was Mark French, who won it back-to-back years in 2010-11 and 2009-2010. And another former Bears coach was actually on the list before that in Bob Woods in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah, I never would have thought that.
Bruce Boudreau came in 2006-07.
All right, Zach, congratulations. You are the first winner of the bonus round for 2023. And then, guys, I do need, courtesy of Andrew Rinaldi that hit us with this little bit of news with another milestone alert. We want to wish friend of the pod, Thomas Bordalo, a very happy 21st birthday. So from the Holy Grail, happy birthday, Thomas. It's on Tuesday here, January 3rd. By the time you guys get this, he'll be 21 years and 2 days, but still, we just wanted to
say.
They
grow up so fast, don't they?
He's also the AHL's leading rookie goal scorer, believe it or not. He was the only guy ahead of Ethan Frank on that list, and I was like, well, hey, I guess that's the power of the podcast, right?
Right.
Always. We will take credit every single time. You are welcome, Thomas. And that's going to be it for the Holy Grail this week. If you'd like to see or hear more of us, please subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Also, be sure to follow us over on Twitter. You guys know it by now. The Holy Grail, GRAHL. You can also check out all of Field Pass Hockey's other podcasts, including Inside the SPHL with James Hayes. You can also join Matthew Harding and Jason Mouse as they break down the ECHL's Wichita Thunder. And as they chat with some of the team's legendary players, the Rolling Thunder podcast airing bi-weekly on Field Pass Hockey. And then Syracuse Speaks with Alexander Ackerman, of course, a Syracuse crunch-centric podcast for you fans up there in New York. So on behalf of Andrew, Corey, Jeremy, and Zach, all of us here at the Holy Grail, we hope you have an amazing week, and we'll catch you next Thursday. Bye.
This has been the Holy Grail Podcast. Have a question or a topic suggestion? Hit us up on Twitter or drop us an email. For the latest news across the American Hockey League and the rest of minor league hockey, download the Field Pass Hockey app, now available in the Apple and Android app stores.
All I can read lips, if that helps. Would you like me to read your lips for the rest of the episode?
We could just have one of those.
I think she said yes. Or she's giving me the keys to the site. Either or, I'm okay with. Oh, she just said yes again. Oh, perfect.